Today on Bold Steps, Mark Jobe shows us how to deal with our relationships in light of Christ's return.
When someone is laboring for others to help people grow, honor them for it. Give them proper respect for it, because these are teachers that are helping us grow in the things of God, and so therefore we honor them. Anybody that's ever led knows it's a lot of work to lead.
Welcome to Bold Steps with Mark Jobe, president of Moody Bible Institute and the senior pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago. I'm Wayne Shepherd. While some people believe that getting ready for the end of the world means hunkering down in a bunker and stockpiling it with food and supplies, and then there are others who think that they need to arm themselves against invaders. But Mark, you say believers should be taking a different approach.
You know, Wayne, over the years I've heard people and gotten emails and watched things on TV where people are being told, sell all you have, go to a mountain, wait for the coming.
Be a prepper.
Be a prepper. But you know, the Apostle Paul actually has an absolutely different approach to this. And he basically says, as you prepare for the coming, work hard at your job. He talks about our relationships towards others, including our relationships towards leaders in the church especially. I want to just take a moment to just insert this in there. This has been a very difficult time for pastors and leaders, especially with COVID, not being able to see their congregation.
Yeah.
And just with the elections and so many other tensions that exist in our society. So I want to encourage you to reach out to your pastor, your leaders, and just encourage them. As you listen to this message, you'll see the importance of that.
The message today is titled, Keeping Your Relationship on Course for His Coming. And it begins right now.
There are only a couple things that endure forever. One is the Word of God, and secondly, people. People endure forever. Now, they don't live forever in this physical body, but their soul lives forever. And so you have to know and learn and discover how to make sure that your relationships with people continue to be clean, short accounts, forgiveness flows fast, you fix things quickly, because none of us want to stand before God with a whole long laundry list of people that we should have made things right with, but we never did. How about it? It tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12, but we request you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people, the Word of God. There are three relationships that the Apostle Paul deals with in preparing us for his return. He talks, first of all, about the leaders amongst us, our relationship with leaders, especially spiritual leaders. So if you're taking notes today, I want you to write this down. We're talking about getting our relationships ready. Number one, live ready. So appreciate the spiritual leaders among you. Notice that he says in verse 12, he's talking to the Thessalonians, and there were some emerging leaders among them. And he says, I request you, entreat you, beg of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you. Now, this was a young church. They all started off as peers. But there were some of them that were excelling in their spiritual leadership more than others, and they were becoming leaders in the church. And there was a tendency in the church to look at some of the people that were becoming leaders and said, hey, who died and made you boss? I mean, why do I need to listen to you? And as the church was growing and emerging, the Apostle Paul is saying that some within the church will begin to emerge as spiritual leaders with discernment, with gifting. There'll be some that are empowered and gifted by God to lead. Now, I believe that all of us have a capacity to lead to one level or another. But there are certain individuals that will be empowered to lead groups of people that are gifted in a certain way to lead, to instruct, that have a calling of God, a gifting of God that allows them to lead other people. As those people emerge and rise, the Bible talks about, uses the word elders. That doesn't mean that you have to be old, but it means that there's a degree of spiritual maturity that's given to your life, calling and gifting that empowers you to be able to lead, oversee people, shepherd, and care for them. Their feet kicked up and bark out commands to everybody. That may be the way it works in the world, but Jesus said, if you want to be great in God's kingdom, learn to be the servant of all. You see, biblical leadership is servant leadership. It means that people serve and watch out and care. And within the church, within ministry, within the spiritual lives, there's people that will be called to lead. And he says, brethren, you need to appreciate those who diligently labor among you. So there's a couple things that Paul has as expectation for those that rise up to lead. Number one, that they work hard. He says, we request that you appreciate those who diligently labor. They work hard at spiritual matters, hard at watching over people's lives, hard at helping people grow, investing, mentoring, instructing, teaching, exhorting, rebuking, watching over the care and soul of people's lives. That this is hard work. And he says, secondly, that they have charge over you. In other words, they lead. They're like shepherds that watch over a group of people. Anybody here who's a parent understands that to raise healthy, strong children, it's a lot of work, isn't it? Because you're there wanting them to grow up to be all that God has called them to be. And so you want to teach them, train them, educate them, show them how to really make it in life. And it's a lot of work. And someone may say, well, it must be easy being the parent because you're the boss. And everybody's a parent says, ha. Do you realize that being a parent, I read somewhere that by the time your child is 20 some years old, especially if they went to college, that it costs the average American about $350,000 to raise a kid? They're expensive. And if you've gone into parenting, you know the work and the training, and you take a piece of your heart, and every child you have, you pour into their heart. And oh, you may be the leader of the household, but it's not you're the leader, you're the parent. And it's a calling that you have. And so Paul says, God raised some among you, they diligently labor, they lead in the Lord, and they give you instructions. So spiritual leaders, they work hard, they have charge, they give you instruction. I'll never forget when I first started pastoring, I was 21 years old. The church was really, really small, under 20 people. And I remember I would get people asking me all the time. They would find out that I was a pastor and they'd say, but do you have a real job? Like, what do you do all day? Seriously, you work on Sunday, right? I mean, what do you do throughout the week? I mean, sit in an office and read concordances, or I don't understand. I remember it would make me so mad. Because the labor was so intense, and night and day, we were having Bible studies and mentoring and calling people and working with people and discipling and dealing with problems. And people say, so man, you must have a lot of time to play golf and stuff, right? I mean, what do you do? And it's funny, to be honest with you, and I want to just throw this word out to you, because it's been many, many years since people view it that way, but I want to tell you, a pastor of a small church usually is as busy. I was as busy with 20 people as I am now with over 4,000 people, it's just busy doing different things. When I had 20 people, man, I was setting up chairs and once in a while cleaning the bathrooms. And if anything happened, I did everything that was there. And so I want you to make sure that if you ever run into a pastor of a small church, he deserves as much honor as a pastor of a large church. Amen? We give honor where honor is due. The shepherding that's there, it's really important. Never despise. The Apostle Paul is talking about spiritual leaders and saying this is what's part of spiritual leaders. And I don't believe he's only talking about pastors in this passage. I believe he's talking about anyone that diligently shepherds people. We have a lot of home group leaders here that take a group of 10 people and they love on them, they instruct in the word, visit, pray for them, care for them. The church has a lot of different leaders that arise up, people that are raising up to shepherd, to watch, to care for people, to love on people, people that are gifted, people that are called, people that take seriously the studying of the word. And what Paul is saying is that when there are spiritual leaders among you, their responsibility is to work hard, to have a shepherd's heart as they care for people, and to give instruction. Now, here's the thing about spiritual leadership. Do you realize that the Bible says that whoever teaches the word will be judged more severely? That those that teach the word will come under greater judgment. Why? Because there's a greater expectation that if you're teaching the word, you better know the word. I think about that often, that I know that my life will be looked at with a greater magnifying glass than a lot of people because I teach the word. And so as I teach the word, if I teach the word wrongly, I can influence a lot of people wrongly. I take it very seriously, the right teaching of the word. Some people think that, well, you know, you're gifted of God, so you just kind of show up and throw the Bible open and just tell stories on Sunday and it just kind of all flows in there. And just No. You know, the Bible says, be diligent in preparing, rightly divide the word of truth. Every week in preparation for the word, I spend hours in the word, preparing, looking at commentaries, looking at the original Greek that it was written in, looking at the Hebrew, praying for it. Now, I don't bore you with all the Hebrew and the Greek and commentaries because I know most people, they're not concerned about all the technical things. But I want to make sure that I diligently study and know. And there's never a Sunday that I get up that I haven't spent hours studying, looking, unless God changes it at the last minute, and occasionally that'll happen, but that's very rare. And the reason I do that is I want to be diligent with the word. I want to make sure that if I teach the word, I'm teaching it well and right and diligently, because I know that one day I will be held accountable for it. Amen?
Leading by serving, that's the takeaway of today's message so far from our series called Defiance. More from Pastor Mark Jobe here in just a moment. Mark, I hope anyone listening right now has gone to our website and signed up for the Bold Stepper Weekly. I enjoy getting it every Monday morning. It sets the tone for my whole week.
It really does, and we have response from different listeners. And here's one listener that says, thank you so much for these weekly messages. I look forward to reading them each week, as they really are a great way to start the week and offer hope, reminders, and reflections. Thank you for all that you are doing for us. Well, we want to say thank you for that word of encouragement.
Indeed.
And if you sign up for Bold Steppers, I think you also may get that little extra boost you need on Monday morning.
It comes to your email box automatically when you sign up. And you can do that at boldstepsradio.org. Just look for the Bold Stepper Weekly. Well, let's jump back into the second half of Mark's study. We have much more to say about keeping your relationship on course for Christ's coming.
He says, but as a congregation, as the people of God, spiritual leaders, whether they be pastors or evangelists or teachers or other leaders that are teaching the word, he says the attitude that we are to have towards them needs to be an attitude of, notice what he says. He says, we ask you, he says, to appreciate those who diligently. That word appreciate is sometimes translated respected or acknowledged. The idea is to honor, to hold in high value those that labor among you. And then he also uses the word to esteem them very highly in love. Notice what he says in verse 13. And that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. To esteem means to honor them highly in love because of their work. Listen, I want to tell you something. If you go to a home Bible study here, a small group, and you show up and there's 10 people and someone's pored over a study of the Word and they spent a couple hours during the week after working 40 hours at their job and they study to prepare a Bible study to really diligently look and pray for you, then, you know, part of what you do is you show up in time, you're attentive to what's going on. Why? You're esteeming the work that they've put in to bless you and help you grow. Praise God for our Sunday school teachers, yeah, that prepare a lesson to teach our kids. The point being, when someone is laboring for others to help people grow, then honor them for it. Give them proper respect for it, because these are teachers that are helping us grow in the things of God, and so therefore we honor them. Anybody that's ever led knows it's a lot of work to lead. Once in a while, I'll run into a young man that's feels like they have a call of God, or a young woman feels like they have a call of God, and you know, they think that really it's just preaching on Sunday. And they don't understand the weight of carrying the people's lives and feeling the responsibility of people's lives. And I think every good spiritual leader understands they feel responsible for the people that they lead. I've seen our pastoral team weep and cry over people that have fallen away. I've seen people struggle and wrestle through couples that are having marital difficulty and meet with them and wrestle through the challenges of it. I've seen people under burdens. I've seen pastors crash and burn in depression because they're carrying the weight of so many people. I've seen pastors that have quit the ministry. There's a lot of pastors that quit the ministry. You may not be aware of that. They tell us that pastors typically switch churches every 4 years. Associate pastors every 2.5 years. Youth pastors every 18 months. I read recently that over half of the pastors that start in ministry get out of ministry. And their wives were surveyed, and a good 70% of their wives were unhappy that their husbands were in ministry because of the pressure of it. Now, I want to say, thankfully, I don't feel that way. Neither does my wife feel that way. Seriously, I don't feel that way. I'm really happy I'm in ministry. And I think part of it is I'm part of an incredible team. I've always understood I don't want to do this alone. I want to do it with a team. I want to do it with people. I feel like we have an incredible church that's moving forward, doing things for God. But I want to tell you that there's something about praying, and I believe I have a prayer support around me that really keeps me encouraged as well. But the Bible talks about that those that minister and labor to encourage them, hold them in high esteem. And by the way, I feel like this church does, and I have no complaints about the esteem that this church has for myself, the pastors, the pastoral team there. And I feel very honored by this church in so many ways. And so I want to commend you on that front. It tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17, the elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honors, especially those who work in preaching and teaching the word. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, it says, obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give account. This verse has haunted me at times. Because it says, the leaders among you, they keep watch over you as men who must give account. Account for what? Account for how they've led. Account for the lives that they oversee. We recently had to step a pastor down because of the condition of his marriage. It was a super difficult season, because I really, really love this brother and his wife. really did. In fact, that led him to Christ. Psalm grow, Psalm teach the word, do an incredible job. But he had to step down because his marriage was not doing well. Issues had come up, they separated. If it was anybody else, he could have stayed at his quote-unquote job. But you see, the pastorate's different. It's not just about what you do. And he was still preaching and still ministering and doing a great job, even though it was really difficult. But here's the thing about a pastor. You lead out of integrity. And you have to lead out of example. And if your marriage falls apart and you're on the way to divorce court, you cannot continue to be a model of what it means to be a healthy marriage if your own household is falling apart. It matters to God, and it should matter to the church. So pray for the pastors. Pray for spiritual leaders. Because I believe that they get hit sometimes at the front more than anybody else gets hit. Hebrews 13 says, obey them so their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be no advantage to you. And here's what I always say. The Bible never calls for blind obedience to leaders, never. And the church should never feel like some sort of sanctified little dictatorship. It should never work that way. If the church is just like a husband, you may be called to lead your household, but if you're leading your household right, you're not thumping your chest, calling yourself the head, and barking out orders for everybody to submit. That's a household out of control. If you have to, as the leader of the household, if you have to bang your chest and say, I'm the head, everybody submit, then there's something wrong there already. Good leaders are servant leaders. They don't have to thump their chest and say, obey, but they lead with integrity and love, so you want to follow them because you say, I know they love me, and I know that they want the best for me, and so I want to follow after this man's leader. Every wife wants a man like that. Amen, wives?
Amen.
Amen. And spiritual leadership is the same. And I always tell people, listen, if you lose confidence in the leadership of the church that you're at, and you can't follow and believe that there's integrity there, and you drag your feet and want to oppose everything that's there, and you say, I can't trust them, then it's time for you to leave that church. Because if there's no belief in integrity, what you don't want is people to have to drag you all. No one wants to have to drag people behind them all the time. And so Paul's talking to this congregation about being ready for the coming of Christ. And he's talking to them about the relationship with the leaders that they have and their spiritual covering. And then he goes on. And the second thing that he tells them is this. Live ready. So make peace with one another. Verse 13. Live in peace with one another. How many of you know to live in peace is sometimes hard? Because people around you have their war paint on. You show up at work and there's some people that just want to fight you. There's people in your household sometimes that just want to fight you. But Jesus, through Paul and the Holy Spirit, says live at peace with one another. You can't control people's attitudes towards you. But you can make right whatever you need to make right towards them. You can't make them try to love you, but you can sure clean out your heart towards any bitterness, resentment, or anger you have towards them. You cannot control other people, but you can control your response that you have towards other people.
You're listening to Bold Steps with Pastor Mark Jobe. Did you know there's a variety of ways you can listen to this daily program? All of our messages are online at boldstepsradio.org, so you can listen 24/7. Or find us on TuneIn Radio. And then if you're going to be traveling for the holidays, be sure to download the convenient Moody Radio mobile app so that you can access this daily program wherever you go. It's available in your favorite app store. This daily program and all the resources we offer are made possible in part by the generous financial gifts of listeners like you who want to share Mark's bold Bible teaching with the rest of the world. And when you give a gift of $30 or more each month, we'll add your name to our growing list of bold partners. A bold partner is a faithful listener who helps shoulder the financial responsibilities of this radio ministry so we can reach people all across the country, even the world. Now, if you're not a part of this amazing team, take your next bold step and join us. Become a bold partner today when you call 844-615-7363 or sign up online at boldstepsradio.org. And today, when you give a gift of any amount to support Bold Steps, we'll say thanks by sending you a copy of our latest Bold Step gift. It's a book by Charles Spurgeon called Finding Peace in Life's Storms. It will renew and strengthen your relationship with Jesus as you learn to experience God's secure protection, replacing your fears and doubt with God's unending peace and love. I'm Wayne Shepherd. Be sure to listen again Tuesday when Mark shows us how to keep your relationship on course for Jesus' coming. The message is part of our Defiance series, and we're challenging you to turn your world upside down with Bold Steps with Mark Joe. Bold Steps is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.